One of the most powerful things I do as a priest is give the last rites to a soul who is spending his last moments on this side of the great beyond, and then have the privilege of celebrating his funeral. I spend an inordinate amount of time around death and dying, and I remember my mother once saying to me, "How can you not be depressed all the time when you are constantly dealing with that? Or how do you not develop a professional distance so that it doesn't affect you?" And when my mom said that to me, I said, "Well, you taught me to read the Bible. And in the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, 'We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope.'" You know, the more time that I spend around death and dying, the more I know there is hope. As a Christian, I believe, and I know by faith, that when we are baptized into Christ, plunged into the ocean of his mercy, we put on Christ. We put on his passion, death, and resurrection. And when we persevere to the end with that baptismal robe of grace unstained, or whitened anew by the sacrament of penance, we know that we will reign with Christ in glory. Now, from time to time, somebody will ask me the question, "Why do you Catholics pray to the saints? Okay, why can't you just go to God directly?" Now, we all know the answer to that question, right? Well, we can go to God directly. We do it all the time. But sometimes our prayer is directed to God through the intercession of the saints. But, you know, that just takes too long to say, so we usually just say we pray to the saints, right? Remember that the word to pray in English originally comes from an Anglo-French word prier, which means just to ask. It seems odd to me that Christians would say up and down that so-and-so was in heaven, and they know it because they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. And then they would turn around and think that the blessed in heaven just sit up there with Jesus, totally disinterested in what we're doing down here on earth. The blessed in heaven are very interested in what we're doing down here on earth. They are present to us because they are present to God. I mean, we're used to invoking the intercession of the saints that the church celebrates on her liturgical calendar. I invoke Saint Anthony all the time because, well, those of you who know me know that I would lose my head if it weren't attached to my body. And I'm always saying that prayer, you know, "Tony, Tony, come around, something's lost and got to be found." Have any of you said that prayer? I usually say it several times a day. I mean, if Saint Anthony is in heaven, and the infallible act of canonization assures us that he is, then he wants what God wants. And if God wants me to find my keys for the millionth time, then by God, Saint Anthony of Padua does too, right? And he is going to pray for that. Now, closer to home, we say that, you know, we know that our old pious grandma is in heaven because, well, you know what? That woman was a saint. I know she's in heaven. So why would she be up there in heaven with Jesus and not care one bit if I discovered that I lost my keys, or that I had cancer, or that my children had lost the faith? The blessed in heaven want what God wants. They reign with Christ, and they are always going to ask their Father and Lord, and our Father and Lord, for what is good for us. Even the souls in purgatory think they know that they are saved. They just have to await their final purification. Now, this is a theological opinion, so you can take it or leave it. But there was a minority opinion among medieval theologians that the souls in purgatory, who couldn't do anything for themselves, could still pray for us. The church has never settled the question, so you can believe what you want. But for me, I can believe that even if my grandma is in purgatory, I'm going to ask for her prayers too, because I need all the help I can get. I'm going to ask all the souls in purgatory to pray for me. And you know what? Even if she's burning in the fires of hell for all eternity, okay, then God is still going to take my request for prayer and he's going to hear it. What a consolation to know that there is more to life than just all of these visible human beings walk around on earth. Okay. You know, I mean, I love all of y'all. You know that. Okay. But thank God there's more to life than just all of us right here, that we can see each other. Think about right here in this church right now. It's not just those faces that we can look at each other and we see each other. We see each other in church. We see each other, you know, down at Bilo or wherever it is, you know, doing our things as we go. But the entire communion of saints in heaven, the Blessed Mother, all the saints, the souls in purgatory, they are all here, right now, because we are engaged in the act of worship of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 encourages us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." What an amazing thing to think that our entire life is a race to heaven, and that we have a cloud of witnesses who have done this same race and been victors, who are cheering us on because they know that with God's help, we can do it too. And we also can win the crown of righteousness and be with them and our God in heaven. No wonder then that the church not only celebrates day after day the memorials of certain saints held aloft for our veneration, but November the 1st, Feast of All Saints. We are in a profound communion with all of the blessed in heaven who want what God wants. And they want us to be happy with Him in this life and in the next. They are our best of friends on the journey towards Him. Now, of course, we talked in the Creed about the communion of saints. We say it every Sunday. I'm sure that it, you know, rolls off of your tongue like it's the most normal thing in the world. I believe in the communion of saints. But it's so easy for us to think that we're just talking about people who have ST period before their names. Or that, you know, people who should have ST period before their names. And that's why we have to go back to our glorious Catholic language, Latin, to the words communio sanctorum. Communio sanctorum means that we are in union not only with holy people in heaven, but holy places, holy things, holy events. Everything that is holy is ours, our birthright as adopted sons and daughters of God. Psalms 19:1 tells us the heavens are telling the glory of God, and they do indeed. The cloud of witnesses gathered around the throne of the Lamb, singing "Holy, holy, holy Lord" in the heaven liturgy, attests to that. But our God doesn't want us to have to wait to get there for us to be able to taste some of that glory. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We sing in the sacred liturgy. in the sacred liturgy where heaven and earth meet in a little space, right here and right now. One of the greatest glories of our Catholic faith is that it truly is incarnational. Just as the Word made flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, He abides with us now under the sacramental veils of bread and wine. He pitches His tent among us. And because He does, He teaches us that all of creation can be sanctified, made holy. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It gathers to greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and awe bright wing. Communio Sanctorum. Holy people, places, things, the veil of heaven is pulled back and sends its refreshing dewfall upon creation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, as He who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. The Church makes holy, likens unto God so many things. You, first of all, when you make the sign of the life-giving cross on your forehead, lips, and chest to listen to the good news. She makes holy her priest and religious when they vow themselves to God and His majesty. Her churches, shrines, sanctuaries, basilicas, cathedrals, the little prayer corner in your house, it's all holy. Her sacramentals, rosaries, medals, scapulars. She blesses everything under the sun. Water, wine, bread, oil, houses, electric dynamos. I have no idea what that is, but there's a blessing in the Roman ritual for it. One day I want to do it. Electric dynamos. If you know what that is, tell me after Mass. Incense, schoolrooms. Everything that is created by God can be set apart and made holy, beginning with you. As Catholics, we are surrounded by holiness, not just in heaven, but here on earth. And where we have lost that sense of a world where God is present in so many ways, it's our job to restore the sacred and renew our wonder that God would choose the weak things of this world as earthen vessels for a divine message of love. Today, as we recite the Creed, as we have Sunday after Sunday for so many centuries at Mass, I've told you this throughout this whole sermon series, let us pray for the grace not only to run the race to heaven like our forebears, the saints, but to cooperate with God's work to sanctify this world too. Then the communion of saints will be something to look forward to in hope, but also something that we're a part of right here and right now.